Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like, yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And so there's room right up here in the front. Oh, there's room over there too, but yeah. They like to sit in the front, so it's, you know, it's. And so some of the other officials, you know, they kind of have their nose bent out of shape because, you know, these guys. Plus, I would imagine that, you know, even when they were kind of put into position, you know, you think about these Jewish guys that have been brought into exile, and now they've been placed over some of the Babylonians. I mean, that probably couldn't have sat very well initially, well, even still. So anyway, worship. So here's what it says. This is starting in verse 17. Because Nebuchadnezzar comes and says, well, you're not going to do this, then we'll throw you into the fire. So their response is, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But get this. Even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And then verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, this is after this has transpired, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielding up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own god. So the story went, some of the guard, they really stoked up the fire. Nebuchadnezzar was not a happy camper. Even some of the guards that threw them in the fire died because the furnace was so hot. And somehow Nebuchadnezzar is able to see inside the furnace, and he's like, wait a minute, there's a fourth person in there. What's the deal here? Because God was with them. And they come out, and it says they didn't even smell like smoke. Nebuchadnezzar sees this and goes, wow, I guess their God is real. Their response was, even if we die, we're going to worship God. You know, what do we deserve as people? We really do deserve death. Because it says in Scripture that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Last week, I think it was last week, some of this stuff kind of runs together. Lamentations 3:39 through 40, we saw that it says, why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sin? Let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. So we can't go to God and complain about, oh, you know, poor me. You know, why do I have to go through this? You know, a lot of the stuff that we deal with in the world, it's not necessarily that we specifically sinned, but because of sin, the whole world is affected. The whole world is affected, and we're going to suffer the consequences of it. But also, there's none of us that can stand before God and say, well, you know, I haven't sinned. Even after salvation, we sin. If none of you have, please come talk to me because I want to know how that works. But even after salvation, we still sin. That's one of those things that just kind of boggles my mind sometimes. The Holy Spirit living within us, and yet we still sin. We still will reject God. We still will chase after the false idols. will worship something other than God. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In fact, he was talking to them about what we did here today. This issue of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and he was putting it in that context. And they were hearing him say this going, wow, that is really weird. That is really weird. In fact, it says that because of what he was teaching them, some of his disciples left. But the 12 are still there. And Jesus says to them, you don't want to go away also, do you? This is John 6, 67 through 68. Peter answers him, where would we go? Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. There is no better choice. There is no better choice than Jesus. To serve a loving God, a God who cares about us. We owe God everything. We owe Him our very lives. First Corinthians 6:20 says, for you have been bought with a price. What is that price? Jesus' very life. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Glorify God. Because this price has been paid for you, glorify God. Why do we come to church? Why do you come to church? Good answer. Hopefully that is what you're learning. But why are we here? You know, and it's going to vary, I think, from Sunday to Sunday. Because depending on where we are personally, where we are spiritually, we may come in on a Sunday morning and just be really down. And so we're here to just be here. Because we know we should be here. That this is where our family is. We're coming and hopefully getting some encouragement. But the idea of coming and worshiping God can be far from us because we're just, it's all we can do to just survive. Or maybe we come because, you know, this is where our friends are. We come and hang out with our friends. Well, really, you can do that pretty much anywhere. You can go join some club or, you know, hang out wherever to be with your friends. But it is one good thing where we can come and be together. But really, how much quality time do we really spend with each other here on a Sunday? Not all that much. Well, I feel so good after being at church. Well, hopefully that's what you say. You know, but we can go away from church just feeling encouraged, having been with God's people, feeling like we've been in God's presence. Or maybe we come because we feel like we have to. It's a duty. You know, I know this is what I should do. So I'm just going to do it. I'll grin and bear it. Although some of you don't even grin. But, you know, I'll just do it. Or do we truly, really come with that idea of, I'm coming to worship the holy, living God. I'm making, really, for some of us, it's a sacrifice to come and be here, to be in the midst of these people, to come and kind of make myself vulnerable to worship God. To worship God. And then how do we worship? Again, with as many different people that there are here, we worship in different ways. You know, we worship in different ways. Some really worship when the music is going. Some really worship when we're teaching the word. Some really worship when they've made a connection with somebody here and it causes them to praise God and to worship God. You know, hopefully you're worshiping God every day, not just here on Sunday morning. But wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can worship God. We've talked a lot about idols as we've gone through the Old Testament here, because that really was Israel's biggest downfall, was idol worship. And idol worship is anything that puts something above God. Doesn't matter what it is. Those doggone cute little grandkids. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're placing something else as a priority above God, it's an idol. Easy to have idols in this country because we have so much stuff. It's so easy to worship other things. Can we worship God through hospitality? Yeah, definitely. How we treat other people? 1 Peter 4, 8 through 9 says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint." So put it in this perspective. You know, this week we've been talking about as a staff. So, you know, we've been doing one service for the last couple months. So now we're looking at, what are we going to do? So we'd kind of played with the idea, well, maybe we'll stay with one service. And we kind of talked through that. Should we do that? Should we not do that? Well, maybe we should go back to two services. Well, should we do that? Should we not do that? You know, and here's where you may be offended. Do you come here with the idea of hospitality? Do you come here with the idea that when someone new comes in, you literally would give up your seat for them to sit there because it's more comfortable for them? When someone comes to your home, how do you treat them? Do you go out of your way to make them feel at home and comfortable? I would imagine most of you do. We need to do that here. We need to be thinking of other people as more important than ourselves, especially those of us who are regular attenders here. Because that was part of our discussion was, well, okay, so we could stay with one service, but look around. We're there's some open places. Who wants to sit up here? I mean, really, this isn't a great place to sit, especially if there's something up on the screen, because it's kind of uncomfortable. But really, anybody? You know, are we willing to give up our seats, give up our comfort for maybe somebody new coming in, for a guest? I want to challenge you in that. You know, there's been times when we're a little crowded and we'll say, you know, can everybody scooch this way? And literally no one moves. Are we willing to give of ourselves? That's the idea of hospitality. It goes on to say in Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, it says, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Some of you are awesome at hospitality. I mean, that is just like, you know, it's a gift. It's a gift. But we all need to have it to some point. Part of it is kind of that sacrificial attitude, you know, that I am willing to give up maybe my comfort. You know, I'm willing to come sit in the front row. Look at this, the front row here is packed. Good job. sometimes it's not so comfortable, but if we're here to worship God, does it matter where you sit? Well, but it's kind of hot here. Well, you can make it an hour. I know you can. You know, I used to have my places. I always sat same spot all the time. I had my reasons for it. I heard a story this week that actually blew me away because I really didn't think. In our church in town, I had this happen, but I didn't realize it had ever happened here, where somebody came in and they sat down and then somebody else came in and they were sitting in their seat. And they stood there and kind of stared at them. And it was like, seriously? I don't see anybody's names on the back of, you know, the seats here. Some churches do that, right? You can actually buy your little spot, you know, get your name put on it. Well, that might be a way to increase finances. I know. Being willing to sacrifice. You know, Jesus went through a lot for us. He went through a lot for us. I think we could at least, you know, the little bit of giving up some comfort. But again, it's that mentality of, you know, because one of the other things we talked about was, okay, so one service, that's great for a time. But I hope that we never have to stay at one service. I would hope that we would fill the one service to the point where we really had to have a second service. And sometimes you can get into that mentality of, and I've heard it and I love it. Wow, we all get to be here together and see everybody together on Sunday morning, right? That's awesome. Because with the two services, you don't always can connect with everybody. But our mentality needs to be that we need to grow. That we need to grow. Because if we start getting that idea of, wow, I really like it this way, then subconsciously we kind of will try to keep it that way. So that was, again, just thinking through the issue of, you know, one or two services, and that really kind of got me thinking about all this. The other thing is that has really struck me in the last couple weeks, a lack of people serving. I mean, just think about the announcements we've been making about, oh, we need a person for this, and we need a person for this, and we need a person for this, and we need a, you know. This is an area where I've always felt kind of weird about talking about, only because I know how some people's perception is that, well, yeah, you're paid to do it. Really? Yeah, I'm paid to do some of it, but I still have an obligation to serve apart from what I'm paid to do. You know, where have we really plugged in and served this local body of Christ? Where have you really plugged in and you're doing ministry? You're doing it for the people, but you're also doing it for God. It's a sacrifice. We have to give up some time to do that. So, we have Sarah Beth, who's leaving, our children's ministry director. It's going to leave a huge hole. We need help, not just that position, but just help in children's ministry. Because this when we switch back to two services, we're not going to be able to offer children's ministry at both hours. Because there's not enough people to serve. So we can't offer children's ministry both hours. We have a need for coordinators in our clothing closet. For somebody or even a team of people to step up and say, I'll be the lead on that. We have lots of people that are willing to help, but we need someone to say, I will be the one. Women's ministry. Pam has stepped down from women's ministry as the leader of that. And we need someone to step up and say, I will be the one, or this is my team, and this is what we will do. We've got a notebook in the back that is full of just odds and ends that need to be done. Those of you who are handy with tools and things. Stuff to do. There's so much stuff to do. I hate to use the word crisis, but for me, that's what it feels like. It feels like a crisis of not having enough people to serve. Not enough people to serve. You know, there's that old 80-20 principle that I think almost every church struggles with. You know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I just want to, you know, really encourage you to evaluate and look at, is there some time that you can give? You know, you don't need any special training, really. Awana's coming up. There's a need in Awana. We've got less people in Awana this year than we've ever had. We need people to step up and help with Awana. Even if it's just sitting, listening to a child tell you their verse. That's pretty simple. Pretty simple. You know, I think about how many hours in the week that I waste. I waste a lot of time doing stuff that is not, has no eternal perspective at all. It's just, you know, wasting time. Time that I could be, oh, but wait a minute, you know, you deserve, oh, baloney. What do I deserve? What do I deserve? Thank you. We deserve hell. But Jesus has come and said, I'm going to make a better way. Can you help me? Go and spread the gospel. Go and make disciples. It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to make some sacrifice. But it's also a way that we can worship God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about worship. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is a way to worship God. So to me, that doesn't sound like, well, I can give you an hour here. That verse to me sounds like, literally, God, here's my body. Do with it what you will. Put me where you want. Tell me what you want me to do. I'm making this sacrifice to you. I'm giving you my whole body. It goes on to say in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't chase after the idols of this world. That's my addition there. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't look like the world. When your neighbor looks at you, they should not see the world. When your neighbor looks at you, they should see Christ. something different than what they would see in the world. If they see just the same old person doing the same old thing, having the same old struggles, acting the same old way as everybody else, what draws there for that? But if they see someone who is genuinely concerned about them, who loves God and expresses that unashamedly, who when the hard times come, doesn't just blow off the hard times, but says, I know there's hope in my God. And even though I'm going through a hard time, I still have hope in God. Participating with God in serving His people, His church, and the world. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty deceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. I know you've heard that one before. And it's not easy to do, is it? Oh man. But I don't want to do that. That's uncomfortable, and you know, I really like myself actually more than that other person. They have those nasty barking dogs all the time, and they throw stuff over the fence. Those kids of theirs, oh man, they drive me crazy. Consider others as more important than yourself. James, one of my favorite books in the Bible. I tell you what, seriously, everything's in James that you need. It really is. How to live a godly life. James talks about us making distinctions about the people that come into our church and how we treat them. And the person that came in and was dressed in fine clothes, oh yeah, sit here, this is, you know, take my spot. And the scraggly old person that came in that obviously was not doing well, oh yeah, well, you know what, you can sit down here by my feet. No. Don't make distinctions. Don't treat people differently. Consider others as more important to yourself. It doesn't say consider this group more important than yourself. You know, this group, well, you know, they're not quite as important. No. Jesus died for all of us, not just a certain segment of us. But it is a sacrifice. And I know it's a sacrifice. It's hard to give up your comfort. It's hard to give up your time. It's hard to give up some of your stuff. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, Paul speaking to the Ephesians, he says, be imitators of God. Be like Christ. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Looking at Jesus as our example, who gave himself up as a sacrifice to God. And that's what Paul says to the Ephesians. That's what Paul is saying to us, that we need to be willing to give up ourselves just like Christ gave up himself. You know, the great thing is we have the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit who can help us where we're deficient. The Holy Spirit who can encourage us where we need encouragement. You know, the Holy Spirit that will help us worship God correctly. The Holy Spirit that can help us get rid of those idols, push them out of our lives. We also have God's Word. God's Word. That you can be reading, you can read it daily to find out what God wants you to do and who God is and how He wants you to live. He'll encourage you through it. He'll challenge you through it. Hopefully you're finding that out as we're reading through the Bible this year, that even in some of those obscure passages that we're like, oh, really? What am I supposed to learn from this? I don't know about you, but even on those days, it's like, oh, wow, look at that. Could God be saying X to me? He knew you were going to read that day. And I know I sound like a broken record. Read God's Word. Every day, be in God's Word. You know, don't go through life struggling and wondering, oh man, I just don't know. How am I going to do this? And how will I ever make it through that? Are you reading God's Word? Are you spending time with God? Are you listening to Him? Now, I don't want you in any way, shape, or form to think that I've got this down, because I don't. I miss a day reading. I do. I miss a day spending time with God. You know, you throw out the little prayer. Oh, man. Oh, no, I'm late. You throw out the little prayer as you're heading out the door. Not a good deal. You know, make time for God. Make time for God. I don't always do a good job of it. But I know what I should do. And God doesn't come along and beat me up for it. You know where I get beat up? Is if I take more time with God and more time in His Word, the enemy doesn't like that. And the distractions start to come. And the things about, oh, well, you know, you did this week, and now you're going to spend time with God? Who do you think you are? I know who I am. I'm a child of God. Because of what Jesus did, I've been adopted into God's family. I'm a child of God. There is nothing that can happen that will take me out of His hand. Nothing. Doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do. You know, we're reading Job this week, right? Woohoo! Man. But there's such great stuff in there. You know, the stuff that Job went through. You know, where he was and what he went through. And some of what his friends had to say were right, but not totally. You know, but it shows you a man who struggled with what God was doing. And he yet would not give up on God. Just like these three guys. You can throw us in the furnace and we can burn up. And we're not giving up on God. Because God is the best way. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. And I know this can feel like a real downer here today, but yet I know this is what I was supposed to say, and I just pray that Your Holy Spirit will work amongst Your people to accomplish what You wanted to have accomplished. It's not to create any guilt trip, but it is to challenge us to think about what we're doing. Are we truly worshiping You? We're giving our bodies, literally giving ourselves completely as a sacrifice of worship to you, and not making any excuses of why we shouldn't, or this or that or the other thing, but realizing what we have been saved from far outweighs any comfort that we should have here on this earth. And yet, we're all human beings and we struggle with that flesh side. And so, Father, I pray for all of us that you would help us through your Holy Spirit to have victory in those areas of our lives that we really need it. Whatever it is that's going on, and we all deal with different things, Holy Spirit, give us victory as we focus our eyes on the Father, as we realize that great sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. How can we not serve you? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to...